Chinese New Year was over a few days ago with Chuck Gomez. And we said goodbye to the Year of the Horse last year, and we welcomed the Year of the Sheep this year. So, this Year of the Sheep sometimes is known as the Year of the Lamb, and at other times it is known as the Year of the Goat. Some people would prefer to call it the Year of the Goat. So the Year of the Goat gallops in, and we still have a new name, the Year of the Ram. So some of you here are not Chinese. You are from India. At least your origin is from India. It does not mean that this study is not for you, because it has nothing to do with the Chinese. It has everything to do with the Bible. It is a Bible study. So what I'm going to do for this study on the Year of the Sheep, or the Lamb, or the Goat, or the Ram, I am going to put all these animals together and then outline them as a program of God's redemption. And you will see it's very wonderful that these four animals give us a very sort of perfect general outline of God's redemption program. For example, the Year of the Sheep would point us to the fact that the sheep is a symbol of the sinner who has strayed away from the love of God. The Year of the Goat, and something has to be done in order to bring the sheep back to the fold, and therefore a substitute has to be found, and this substitute is none other than a goat. Having therefore been saved, the sinner now has to proceed further. The sinner is not called to be saved to enjoy his or her life. The sinner, having been saved, now has to surrender his or her life in service unto the Lord. And that is symbolized by the ram, where the saint surrenders his or her life to the Lord in service. And then finally, saints who have been saved by the grace of God will meet together in heaven, and we shall proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, as the one worthy to sit on the throne. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. So you see that these four animals put together give us a very good outline of God's redemption program. But before we do that, just to inform you of what happened the last few weeks or so, for this study on the Year of the Sheep, or the Goat, or the Ram, or the Lamb, today you are the last assembly to listen to this study, and it's past New Year, Chinese New Year, Chuck Gomez. We first started the study in Sungai Nibong a month ago, and then we went on to Island Grace Gospel Center. After that, we went to Sungai Ara Gospel Hall, and then, of course, Chinese New Year. And every year, I make sure that the week after Chinese New Year, I am back in my home assembly at Balmoral Gospel Hall, because there's no point coming to even BM or to Sungai Ara or Sungai Nibong, because the number of believers in the assembly will be very small, because many of your members come from outstation and you have gone back. But in Balmoral Hall, the people from Penang will come back, so there will be a bigger crowd in Penang. Well, after that, I had to cross over the channel to Butterworth. And last week, I was at Butterworth Gospel Hall And of course, this week, with all of you, after Chap Go Mae. Alright, so these were the assemblies who had listened to the study of the year of the sheep. Now, as an introduction, let us find out what this year of the sheep is all about. First of all, let's listen to what the world has to say, or just to fill us up with this year of the sheep. This year of the sheep commences from February 19, 2015, and of course will conclude next year, February the 7th, and Chinese New Year will fall on February the 8th of next year. This animal study has to do with the 12 animals in the zodiac calendar. And the year of the sheep is the 8th animal in the zodiac calendar. We have, for example, the rat, the ox, the tiger, the rabbit, the dragon, the snake, the horse, and this is the 8th one, the goat. Next year, we have the monkey. Now, to all the other assemblies, except Senganibong, because they were the first one, and this homework never occurred to me. But after Senganibong, I gave every assembly which I visited a homework. And that homework, to complete it, I give them 1 year. Very good teacher. 1 year to complete it. And what is that homework? Please find in the scripture the monkey, the text for the monkey, and the study that you are going to do on the year of the monkey next year. Share the thoughts with me. Let me know the references in the scriptures where you can refer to the monkey so that I can help you can help me prepare the message on the year of the monkey for next year. So that is the homework. But for you, I'm not sure whether I can give you the homework or not, because I'm not even sure of coming to Bukit Mertajam Gospel Center. Today is the last date for my closing of the bookings, so to speak, for the year of the monkey. But I've not heard from BMGC yet. All the other assemblies have already said, yes, we would come, we would like you to come, or no, we would like to opt out. So, I'm not sure whether the monkey is in you to play the monkey tricks on me, but whatever it is, this is the situation. Okay, alright, let's go on. What does the world have to say about this year of the monkey? This year of the monkey, the monkey is too advanced, is playing tricks on me already. Alright, the year of the sheep. What has the world to say about the year of the sheep? Well, the world today expects this year of the sheep to be a picture of gentleness. Why? Because the sheep is very a gentle animal. Now, is this true? If you look at what has happened since the very beginning of this year of the sheep, we find that the year of the sheep has not started well. We have a lot of problems in the newspapers. We read of conflicts. We read of murders. We read of terrible, torturous murders by the IS and so on. And we had a very bad start for the year of the sheep. Okay. But to these people who forecast what is coming for this year of the sheep, they say it's going to be a gentle year, and it is going to be a year of new inventions, creativeness, because many of the things related to the sheep can be used for many things. Well, in a way, it's true. We find that many people are very inventive, and they are inventive for evil, for bad, and for wickedness. Also, it is a good year, because the sheep, well, it is, you look at it, it's a very good animal. Now, that's what the world thinks this year of the sheep will bring for this year. What about the person born in the year of the sheep? His or her strengths. Alright? Now, this is what is said of the year of the person born in the year of the sheep. People are tender, polite, filial, clever, and kind-hearted. They have special sensitivity to art and beauty, faith in a certain religion, and a special fondness for quiet living. They are wise, gentle, and compassionate, and can cope with business cautiously and circumspectly. In their daily lives, they try to be economical. Women born in this year are willing to take good care of others, but they should avoid pessimism and hesitation. They are kind in heart and commonly have symmetrical figures and features, very charming indeed. I'm not sure whether I should ask those born in the year of the sheep to stand up so that we can see whether these things describe you or not. No, I'm not going to embarrass you, all right? Because we know that many of these things are not true. And they describe not only those born in the year of the sheep, but those born in the year of the monkey as well. What about their weak points? This is a description of the their weaknesses. Sheep ear people are often worriers who are shy, pessimistic, moody, indecisive, oversensitive, weak-willed, and puzzled about life. They are easily inclined to be deeply religious. They are timid in nature and like to be looked after by others. They like flattery, compliments, and suggestions from friends. They do not dare to express their love openly and usually have interest in strange theories. Well, those of you who are born in this year of the sheep, is this true of you? You know for yourself. All right, and this is taken from the Travel China Guide. A forecast of what will happen for the people born in the year of the sheep. Right, that's what the world says. Now, what does the Bible have to say about all these things? About this forecast, this astrological prediction, and so on. Now, God says this in His Word, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. When you come into the land the Lord warned Israel, your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be from among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. And this applies to those Christians who especially come from India. They will have to face up with this problem. Or those who practice witchcraft or a soothsayer. Those from Africa will have a problem with this. Or those who interpret omens or a sorcerer. This is common even in China. Who conjures spells or a medium or spiritist, and this is common among people in Malaysia itself. And we find the people going to mediums, to spiritists, and so on to consult the future. Who calls up the dead? For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. For these nations listen to soothsayers and diviners. We wake up sometimes, and the first thing we look at is the star paper, what the stars foretell. We look at at astrological predictions. We look at feng shui, and so on, and many, many other things to tell us what the future holds for us. But we hardly look into the Bible to see what the Bible has to say about us, to see God's will. It is important that every day we should be looking at God's word to know His will. As for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. Do not consult these people. Do not look at all these things, because these things are an abomination unto the Lord. So says the Lord. Alright, now your occurrences to find out what the word has to say about the sheep. To do any Bible study of any particular word, we look at where it occurs and how many times it occurs. Now, this word sheep is taken from, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word. And it is translated from a number of Hebrew words. Now, because we are not going into detail, into a deeper study of what the word really means, we shall skip this part of Bible study about the Hebrew words from where we get the English word sheep. Now, in the New Testament, we find that only one word is used, probaton, and it refers to any four-footed tame animal accustomed to graze, but often it is used for a sheep. Alright, that is in the New Testament. But what we are more interested is how this word sheep is used in symbolism. So, let us look at it. Now, for example, in 1 Kings 22 and verse 17, we find that the word sheep is used of people who are shepherdless. For example, in 1 Kings 22, 17, God's prophet Micaiah said, when he was consulted by King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel and the king of Judah, whether they should go and attack the king of Syria and get back the city Ramoth Gilead, the prophet, the other false prophets of Ahab said, oh yes, go, go, go. Now these are the people who are the false soothsayers, who are the fortune tellers, and who are the false prophets. They said, go and attack, you can win the battle. But when Micaiah, the God's prophet, was asked, he said, no, don't go. If you go, you will be scattered like sheep without shepherd in the mountains. Sheep without shepherd. Therefore, refer to people who are without shepherd, who have lost direction whatsoever, and who go their own way. He also refers to innocent and helpless people facing the slaughter and death. For example, in Psalm 44, verse 22, we find that the Israel had been persecuted and they were being chased after almost daily. And the psalmist said, we are like a people who are being killed every day, like sheep being led to the slaughter. Alright? So, sheep in the Old Testament here may refer to people who are helpless and helpless. But in the New Testament, we find that sheep also may refer to sinners. And we know this story very well about the Lord Jesus Christ telling the parable of the lost sheep. Alright, let's see what we can learn from there. Sheep, in general, in the Old Testament, is also used of God's people. For example, in the past, in the Psalms especially, and this morning we read, we are the sheep of his pasture. And we know this familiar psalm in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And therefore, we are the sheep. God's people are also known as the sheep. In the New Testament, the sheep will refer to the sinners, lost and strayed from the fold. In Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. And we find that the Lord Jesus Christ goes after the sheep and brings back the sheep. And when the sheep are brought back to the fold, then the responsibility is God has appointed various people to be his under shepherds, to be elders, to take care of the sheep. For example, in John chapter 21, 15 to 17, we find that when Peter was restored by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ, after his denial of him 3 times, the Lord asked him, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And because of that, the Lord said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And so we find that those sheep that are brought back, they have to be cared for and be fed by the Lord's servants. And Acts chapter 20, 28 to 30 is specified that elders are to feed the sheep. Paul called the elders of Ephesus to Miletus and told them that they must look after the sheep, take care of the sheep, oversee the sheep, and feed the sheep, lest wolves in sheep's clothing come in to spoil them. And so, elders have this very serious responsibility. Now, in prophecy, sheep is used of people or nations who treat Israel correctly and rightly. For example, in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 33, in the future, it has not come yet, there will come a judgment of nations when Christ will sit upon the throne on earth. And then all the nations will be gathered to him, the Gentile nations and Israel. And they will be judged on how they treat the brethren, that is the Jews, Israel. Those who have treated Israel well will be put on the right hand side, and those who have treated badly will be put on the left. The right hand side nations will be known as the sheep. The left-hand side will be known as the goats. And it's the first time sheep and goats are placed together in contrast one to another. More about that later on. All right. And when we talk about the sheep, we talk about the shepherd. And we know that Jesus is the shepherd. John chapter 10, 11 and 14, the Lord Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. Also, Jesus is the great shepherd. Hebrews 13, 20, 21. He is the one, after having saved us, the strayed sheep, into the fold, He makes you perfect in every good work. We are saved to good work, saved unto works, not saved to enjoy ourselves. And lastly, Jesus is the chief shepherd, and when He comes, He will reward the elders who have done a faithful work of feeding the sheep with the crown of glory. 1 Peter 5:4. And so we come now to the goat. We have finished with the sheep and the shepherd. Now the goat. What can we learn from the goat? Well, firstly, with what the world says is the same as what it says with regard to the sheep. But what does the word have to say about the goat? Again, the occurrences of the word goat. It occurs a number of times, and it's translated from various Hebrew words. Again, we'll skip that. In the New Testament, there are only two Greek words being used to translate goat. Alright, they are many, many times in the New Testament. Alright, now the occasions. When this word goat is used and how it is used, let us see. Firstly, as used in symbolism of the king of the west in prophecy. Now, in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 5, Daniel saw in a vision a goat doing battle with a ram. And that was a prophecy of the battle between the ram, the empire of Persia, and the goat, the empire of Greece. And how Greece overcame Persia. That was the battle of the ram and the goat. Then we read this in Matthew 25 of the judgment of nations between the goat and the sheep, the goat on the left and the sheep on the right. I talked about that already, so I will skip. Then we have another lesson about the goat. The goat is a clean animal. And because it is a clean animal, it can be eaten. It's halal. Alright? It can be eaten and it can be used as a sacrifice. Now, how do we know an animal is clean? Two things. Firstly, the animal must chew the cud. Now, you know that a cow or a goat, after it has grazed on the grass, it eats the grass, swallows the grass, and then it goes to a shade under a tree, and then it takes up again what it has swallowed and starts chewing again. That process of chewing again is called mastication or rumination, in order to digest the food properly so that it can go back into the stomach to be properly digested. Now, that is chewing the cud. And those of you who have been receiving weekly my ruminations, that's where the word occurs and how it is to be used. That these ruminations are sent to you, and firstly, you have a quick glance over it, have an idea what it's all about, and later on, and when you have the time, think about it, meditate upon it, and let it go into your life and apply it into your living. And that's why it's called rumination. Alright, another reason, another condition for a clean animal is it must have hooves that are split into two. So, when an animal fulfills his two conditions, then that animal is clean and can be used for sacrifice. Now, we'd like to refer to one particular goat that is used for a special sacrifice, especially on the Day of Atonement. Let us look at it in detail. Now, apparently, in the Old Testament, after the tabernacle was constructed, God laid down special conditions concerning the service of the tabernacle. Apparently, at that time, there was some freedom for the priest to enter into the tabernacle to serve any time. But there were two priests, Nadab and Abihu, the children of Aaron, who one day took strange fire to burn the incense to do service. And because of that, the Lord struck them dead at once, although they were the sons of the high priest. Now, why did God do so? Because they used strange fire. What was so strange about the strange fire? Now, apparently, when the tabernacle was completed, there was a burnt offering upon the altar. And the offering was put on the altar, and fire from God, from above, came from the Holy of Holies right through the tabernacle and burned up that offering. And from that time onwards, it says in Leviticus chapter 10, that that offering, that fire, must never, never be put out. And that fire must be always used for the burning of incense and for the burning of sacrifices. Now, Nadab and Abihu thought that they could worship God in their own way with their own fire, and they would not use the fire that God had supplied. And God struck them dead. Then this morning we have been meditating upon worship. Let us remember, we need to worship God according to God's own way and conditions. We cannot worship God according to what we think, how God should be worshipped. We should worship God in the way God wants us to worship. And so God struck them dead. Two offenders inducted, and because of that, God raised up two obstacles. What were the two? One, from now onwards, no priest could enter the Holy of Holies anytime he liked. Second, he must do so with two offerings. The two offerings would be a sin offering and a burnt offering. The sin offering would consist of a bullock for the priest, two goats for the assembly, and a ram for a burnt offering. So, sin offering and a burnt offering. Alright? Note that the bullock, only one, was for Aaron. Because he was the high priest, he had to bring a bullock, the very costly sacrifice, because of a high rank. For the others in the nation, they were to offer two goats. Now let's see the sin offering regarding the two goats. The two goats were brought before the priest. In Hebrew, one would be called Ezezel, and the other, your goat, would be for the Lord. Now what would happen? Firstly, as the two goats were brought before the priest, the priest would throw a lot and see where the lot would fall upon the two goats at random. The goat on which the lot fall would be the Lord's goat, and that would be sacrificed. The other goat would be set free. That is the whole process. So, how would it be conducted? So, the Lord's goat, would be killed, and then the blood would be taken into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled on the mercy seat. After that, the goat that was to be set free would be taken and will be set free in the wilderness, never to be seen and never to be returned again. This would be a two-in-one picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, we read this morning too, that the Lord Jesus was the one that was typified in the offering in the Old Testament. The Lord God was not pleased with the offerings because of that, The atonement day offering was repeated day in and day, year in and year out. But the Lord Jesus was the fulfillment of those offerings, and he offered himself once and for all. And he went into the Holy of Holies with his own blood once, and that's to accomplish the work of salvation for us all. And so we find that atonement was made. Now we come on to the last one, the year of the ram. Year of the sheep, everyone is a sinner. The year of the goat, there's a substitute so that the sinner can be saved. The year of the ram, for again, what has the word got to say about the ram? There are two types of ram in the original word. First, the ram is used of names. Three people were called ram, or Rama, or whatever it is, right? Three people. We won't touch on them for today. The second term is for the animal, ram. And it occurs many, many times. The last time was in the first time was in Genesis 59, and the last time, then Daniel chapter 8 verse 20, and the plural number is Micah 6:7. Let us consider these three verses. The occasions. Alright, the first one. The first occurrence of the word ram is found in Genesis chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. Now, this was a time when Abraham was told by God that God will bless him, and God will bless his seed, and God will make him into a big nation. And he said, how can I know this? How can I know that it's true? And God said, alright, take with you a ram of 3 years, a she-goat of 3 years, a heifer of 3 years, one turtle dove and one pigeon. And these three animals, the ram, the she-goat, the heifer, cut into two. And then the two halves lay on either side of the path. Just like this. At night, Abraham fell into a sleep. And in that sleep, he saw a vision. And in that vision, he saw a smoking pot coming between the two halves of the animals that were sacrificed, and a flaming torch. Now, these two symbols would represent the Lord God himself. Now, in the Old Testament culture, it was like this. If two parties made a contract with one another, then they would take an animal, kill it, cut into two halves, and the two parties would walk in between the two halves. That was to show that if any of them broke the contract, then they would die, just like the animal that had been sacrificed. And here we find that God confirming his covenant with Abraham. He said, look, I'm going to confirm the covenant with you. I'm walking through the two halves of the animals. And so this was the Abrahamic covenant being confirmed. I want you to note, there was nothing to represent Abraham. Abraham did not walk, because it was an unconditional guarantee by the Lord himself. An unconditional covenant. Okay? So, that was the ram. Now, the role of the ram. The ram had many roles to play. For example, we are familiar with this one in Genesis chapter 22 verse 13. When Isaac was to be sacrificed, it was the ram that was substituted in his place. And that one, of course, was how God provided for the sacrifice. Abraham was spared of his son Isaac. That was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being sacrificed for us. He was God's son, his beloved son, the son whom he loved. But God spared not his son and gave him up, or delivered him up for us all. Now, the ram of sacrifice. The ram was used for sacrifices. For example, the ram of the trespass offering, the ram for the peace offering, the ram for the atonement that we found just now. After the sin offering, there was the ram for the atonement. Alright, there's still one special offering which a ram, where a ram was used. And this was the ram for the burnt offering for consecration. When a priest was to be installed as priest, first there must be the sin offering of a bullock, there must be the burnt offering of a ram. There is sanctification. One was for salvation, the other was sanctification, and there would be the third one for consecration. Third one, a ram. Alright. Now, let's see how this third use of the ram was used. In chapter 8, verse 22 of Leviticus, we find that first the ram was brought before the priest to be installed. Then the priest would have to lay their hands on the head of the ram to identify themselves with the ram as to what would happen to the ram later on. The ram, of course, would be killed and the blood shed. That would be in the place of the priest. The blood would then be taken and would then be applied to the priest. Would then be applied to the priest in three parts of the priest. One, the blood would be taken and applied to the right ear of the priest, to the right hand or the right thumb of his right hand, and third, the right toe of his right foot, signifying that as the priest is installed for service in the sanctuary, he is now prepared to listen to God, to do his work, to always walk in his way. Now this is required, and that's why it's important when a person is saved, he surrenders his life to the Lord. But there comes a third part to which the Lord calls for special service. And this special service is the consecration of the person. Okay, so that was the ram. Now, the last occurrence of the word ram in Old Testament. It was used in chapter 8, verse 20 of Daniel. I talked about that already, so I won't talk about it to save time. The very fact that this vision of the ram and the goat was fulfilled in history shows that the scripture must be true, that God will indeed carry out his program of redemption. Now look at the last occurrence of the word ram, and this is in the plural number in the Old Testament, Micah 6, 7 and 8. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? If you kill thousands of rams, or with 10,000 of rivers of oil, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, and so on? If you kill even thousands of rams, but if you don't give your life to the Lord, no point. It's only open ritual. The Lord wants you. Alright. So, for the Chinese New Year of the ram and the goat, the Lord requires a life that exhibits ethics and not externals. Offering of 1,000 rams will not help you. It is the willingness to commit your life to the Lord. James 1:22-25. Not just to be a listener, but to be a doer of the word, then he will be blessed. 1 Samuel 15:22. It is better to obey than to sacrifice. Finally, the year of the lamb. The lamb was led to the slaughter and he was slain, and he typified the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord was slain, Acts 2:23. Him you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And this slain lamb one day will occupy the throne in heaven. He is the one worthy to be slain. The Lamb, the Lord, will be the sovereign sitting on the throne. And John said in his vision, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne stood a lamb as he had been slain, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And to us all, let us join in, therefore, with every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and so on, to give him blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne, that the Lamb of God will be sitting there forever and ever. And the four beasts said Amen. And may we be able to say Amen also. So, finally, we finish with this. A belated Chinese New Year greeting to all of you, and may the, some Chinese would not like us to use prosperity or the God of prosperity, but I'm going to use prosperity, and I'm going to use the God of prosperity to call him to bless you. Why? That the God of prosperity will prosper you in your work, and for those who are not married, in your have a good wife, you near. The old generation will always wish the younger generation to have a good spouse, husband or wife. Well, Genesis 24:40 says, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son, for my kindred and my father's house. The Lord of prosperity will prosper you in your work. Genesis 39:3. The Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in the hand. Genesis 39:23, the God of prosperity may prosper you in your ways. The Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And finally, may the Lord prosper you in the reading of his word and in the obedience of his word, that you turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And with that, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. So may the God of prosperity bless and prosper all of you this year. In the year of the sheep, or in the year of the goat, or in the year of the ram, our greetings to all of you. May the Lord bless. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for dying for us, saving us, and searching for us that we may be saved. As lost sheep, thou art the shepherd. Now, Lord, help us to bring our burnt offering unto thee, the offering of the ram. And Lord, should we hear thy call to consecrate ourselves to thee, to be what thou would have us to be. We thus commit ourselves to thee for the rest of this year, that thou be with us. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.